The Ohio Supported Employment Coordinating Center of Excellence is currently working with 7 freestanding consumer-operated services in Ohio. And this is a project that is funded through a grant from the Ohio Department of Mental Health. And the goal of the project is simply to increase employment for people with severe mental illness in the state of Ohio. What the CCOE is doing is helping the consumer-operated services clarify what their role can be in helping people get jobs and keep jobs, and then provide training and technical assistance to the consumer-operated services once they've clearly defined how they're going to participate in the employment process. What they can do and what they are doing are things like helping people resolve ambivalence about going back to work, helping provide education about different topics that relate to going back to work, like the idea of disclosure and how that relates to getting accommodations on the job or even just landing that job interview. They can provide education about employment services that are available to people. They can also just really help provide peer support and motivation for people who are thinking about going back to work. John was one of the people who are part of the 7 consumer-operated services that the CCOE is working with in this project. And last year at Supported Employment Conference, we had a workshop where we were describing how the local consumer-operated services can partner with their mental health centers that are nearby. And John was a part of that workshop. He co-facilitated the workshop with me along with a couple of other folks from other consumer-operated services.
I'm John Moneypenny. I'm the assistant director at Choices Social Center in Akron, Ohio. I take care of the finances, the books, just general running, help running the center. I write grants. I make the work schedules up, put the newsletter and calendar together. Well, we don't open until 9 o'clock. I'm usually here before 8. Okay. And I'd start out checking the email, setting up the snack bar drawer for them to come in. And I usually
John,
end up doing quick books.
You know, has said to me before that he was always one of these.
And it depends on what I have to work on that day.
I hate to use this phrase, but this was his words, problem kid.
Email responses,
you know, where he's kind of hard to contain, always getting into stuff, in and out of trouble and that kind of thing. And John recognized, I think, from very early on, even when he was in high school, that having something to do by way of a job was really beneficial to him, and it helped keep him out of trouble. Even, you know, as a teenager, I think one of the things that stuck out to me was that John recognized that working was equivalent to less problems for him.
I had a lot of jobs. I started working when I was in, actually at a business, and when I was in junior high school. And then I worked at Akron Controller and Motor, Rewinding Motors. And then I worked for Southern Bell Telephone Company, and then I owned my own gas station. And then what did I do? Then I worked
for like many of us, like most of us actually in American society,
drilling rigs.
John tried a lot of different jobs as he was coming out of high school and in his early adult years. You know, but from job to job, I think what sticks out to me is that John always was a worker. He always viewed himself as a worker, and he always continued to work. And so, you know, he talks about all the different jobs that he held before he came to Choices. You know, and he sort of talks about that period in his life as the before period. And, you know, there was a time when some different stressors occurred kind of around the same time in his life. And, you know, he hit a really rough spot, and it consumed a lot of years of his life.
Yeah, things went back downhill pretty quick. I started having problems, and I was in and out of the hospital. I had some TIAs. I don't know if that helped trigger the whole thing. The TIAs are like little mini strokes. They're temporary blockages, like blood clots is what they figured they were. And they put me on anticoagulants and stuff. But that didn't work too good with me, because I started taking a whole bottle. Whole bottles of anticoagulants don't work too good. But I was in and out of the hospital more than that. And I got divorced from my kid's mother. So I was a single father of two kids, working 50, 60 hours a week at the plant. So it was, and it just like everything unraveled then. I mean, up until then, I was able to pretty much deal with it, I guess. But things went apart. I was a short-term hospital there, in and out all the time. And they did shock treatments, and that didn't help either. And then they sent me to a long-term hospital, which was about 100 miles away. And then from there, they had me court-ordered to the state hospital, which I spent almost 5 years in the state hospital before they let me out. And then they sent me back up here to Ohio. I didn't want to come back to Ohio. I was in Florida at the time. They sent me back up here to Ohio, but I had to go where there was someone. My parents were up here in Ohio still. So, yes, I ended up back in Ohio, and they put me in a Cauga Valley, which is a daycare center that they used to have here until they closed it down. I got out of the state hospital. I was worse than I was before I went in. All I could do was sit and rock in a chair is about all it was. And I think it was probably just over medication, you know. So it took me a while till I found a doctor that started really working with me, and a therapist to give me medication straightened out so I wasn't over-medicated or under-medicated, and get it at the right level to where I could start functioning. I went back to school and got my degree in accounting. And of course, I still couldn't find any work. Like I said, I went through BVR like three times trying to get something through there, and it just one of them things that wasn't working for me. It's real hard for consumers a lot of times to find work. I mean, you don't have to disclose it, but that big gap of history is usually a big downfall for anybody, not just consumers, but they have their ways of figuring out there was something wrong with you is why you weren't working. So, like I said, then I found choices and all that, and that got me back on track working and stuff, and has been one of the best things for me is working. I haven't been in a hospital since I started working at Choices.
I would say that Choices is a pretty happening kind of place. It's pretty active. There's usually kind of a lot going on. There are, at any given time, you know, there are quite a few people roaming the halls, gathering for different groups or classes that they might be having at the center. In contrast to what you may see in a day treatment group, for instance, the people at Choices seem to be a little more engaged than that. They seem to be there to interact with people, not just to hang out and exist. They really do have a sense of community there that you can feel when you walk through the door. You know, even between the staff members and the participants there, you can just sense that there's this bond and a real feeling of coming together.
There's a lot of recovery going on. It's ongoing. People come in every day, Monday through Saturday. Sometimes the same people, sometimes new ones with many problems. that other people wouldn't understand on how to deal with. And we have a strong core of people there that are working in unity for our community. My name is Vera Booker, and I'm from Akron, Ohio, and I'm a member of Choices Community Center. We feel really blessed, I myself do, because I'm dual diagnostic and I was an alcoholic and have a few other issues, but I'm well now. What's nice is that we can come on the same level with the people and work with them. Get right on to ground zero there and start with, you know, who they are and knowing where we've come from too and knowing their needs, mental or physical. And what Choices is about, it's all of us members getting together, creating the groundwork, and being able to be strong.
As a kid, I was one of those kids that always, you know, problem kid, always getting in trouble and stuff. But I found when I was working that I didn't have as many problems. It's always been kind of something that makes you stable, I guess. I don't know. It just kind of really helps me keep on track, the working, the activity, having something to do, keeping the mind busy. It keeps me motivated to go on. It just real hard for me not to work. I had a triple bypass a few years back, and about drove me nuts not being able to get up and do something, you know, because, you know, I got to anymore. If I don't, I know I'm going to get bad again. It's just, even with the medication, I think I would still go downhill from the inactivity. I think the activity helps. I've learned I can do a lot more than I thought I could. It's like going back to school to get the accounting degree. You know, it's one of them things, well, I'm too old to go back and do this stuff. But, you know, no, I'm not. My brain still works. You know, I mean, and it's, you know, you learn that you can deal with a lot more things than you thought you could. You know, it's like anything, it's like growing. You learn to grow and find out, well, that's not as scary as I thought it was. Or you reach out and try things you couldn't do before because I tried this and it was okay. Now I can try this. You know, you don't get so much fear of not being able to do something. Mm-hmm. I'm old enough now, I realize I can't do everything. Doesn't mean I can't try to do everything. So, you know, that works for me.
When I heard, you know, some of the things that he had been through, I was shocked. And I was so honored that he would share that with me. And, you know, just when you think you've seen it all or you've been through hell, you meet someone who has been through more than you have been through. And, you know, it just took me off guard because looking at John today, you know, if you were to meet John, you would not have ever known that he went through some of the things that he went through. You know, he's just so healthy now and he's doing so well that it's hard to envision him in any other state of being than the way that he is right now. It's just a very inspirational thing to think, you know, that given all the things that life threw in his path, John was able to overcome every single one of them. And is in fact committed to helping other people make that same leap and make that same level of progress that he made. To me, that's the biggest value to, you know, listening to John tell his story. Just that other people, you know, can have hope for themselves too. That they can achieve great things even if life hands you a bad hand sometimes.
Since I've been at Choices, well, I bought a house. I bought the house before, while I was still on disability. So, you know, you can do things while on disability. And it was scary, you know, thinking, oh, I'm going to lose my disability. How am I going to keep a roof over my head? But and I was sure I was going to mess up my disability and I wasn't going to be able to afford anything. But I took a shot at it. Bought my house. Don't have a new car, But for me, it was new. You know, it's a 2003, but it's got low mileage on it. So, you know, things have been going real good, and they offered me this full-time job on salary, and really made me real interested in seeing that other people can see past the fear of losing that disability. You know, where do I really stand? Can I do this without losing it? And like my doctor told me when I was talking to him about going back to work and started working here part-time and that, he said, you know, disability is determined by you and the doctors and what they report. It's not determined because you're working and doing something. You know, there's a point where it's gainful for you. But your disability doesn't go away because you're working. And as long as your doctors or therapist or whatever, as long as they're putting on there that you have that disability continuing, that's what they're going by. They're not going by the fact that you're able to work and make some money doing something. So that kind of put my mind a little more at ease. So
John Moneypenny is a very inviting, very warm person, very unassuming, you know, not pretentious in any way. He just makes you feel comfortable to be yourself when you are around John. And one of the things that I just love about him is that he's so positive. I mean, even hearing him talk about the most difficult points in his life, John will still find something good, something positive that came out of that. And that's just the way that John is. And he's always looking for the bright side of something or the upshot of something.
I think it makes me most proud when I have some of the people that I work here, we're here, come up and tell me how grateful they are for some of the little things that happened to them here. We have one that used to work here and had a pretty rough history herself for a long, long time. A lot of legal problems and all this, but they now have their own cleaning business. They work at one of the local department stores on weekends. They really got things put together. And she's so thankful that we gave that opportunity for her to start working somewhere, to be motivated and all that. That's what gives me most satisfaction, is seeing the people grow and move to the next level and take that next step. You know, even if it doesn't work out the first time, still go for it. Because, you know, people have ups and downs like everything else. It may not work now, but the 10th time down the road, you can be happier than you ever been for the rest of your life. Just keep going for it. Don't ever give up the desire to do something because it didn't work out one time.
This has been a production of the Center for Evidence-Based Practices at Case Western Reserve University, a partnership between the Mandel School of Applied Social Sciences at Case and the Department of Psychiatry at the Case School of Medicine. For more information about this production and for more information about our consulting, training, and evaluation services, visit our website, www.centerforebp.case.edu. www.centerforebp.case.edu.